You have six channels. I can just read quickly what each one of these channels kind of. So, for example, the first tape or channel would be elementary electronic sound material, white noise, treated in different filters. And then otherwise you have, for example, like varied concrete material, the way they refer to it. So I think that was his choice of like this sudden choir or chant or like this choking cough, which then he treats electronically. But then the Scandinavian pavilion was considered a failure, I think. But I'm not sure. It seems there were different aspects for this judgment. But one of them was that, I mean, even though it was a six-channel piece over 36 speakers, it was considered apparently modest compared to other pieces. So that was like very, it seemed very not ambitious at the time. In a sense, they're very varied compositions, like almost at the time, I would say, in the 60s, it wasn't so usual to have a composer have like these different paths, I would say, like within this school of music. So that's for me why it's electronic contrast. And I'm going kind of from the most experimental, in a sense, to the least. I mean, the first one you have this jazz quartet and this apparently like conceived as a humorous or I would say gimmicky piece. Much of this of the resources for this piece, the Osaka piece, is I think from his research in Warsaw. But I mean, I don't know, I could be wrong, because maybe some of you can recognize some references in because I don't know if there was also material from Norway. I couldn't tell about that, but I mean, there is this album, I think it's on the last chair, it's called the Norheim Tapes, I think. Yeah, and this was when he worked with NRK, I mean, because it was, or at the time he perceived that they didn't take him seriously. He found out after a while that they kept everything, also his research with NRCO. And these, I would expect, might include some similar, like, everyday sounds processed. And I mean, he also used, even in a performance of this, of the other one, Morgan Raga, he used a ring modulator for the recording. And so, yeah, I don't know. But I mean, also something else, I think, I mean, this is, or basically I mentioned at first music concrete or concrete music and electroacoustic music. Basically, music concrete, or when the first research on electronic music started, research and experimentation was just manipulation of sound electronically. So it was the use of sound and music recordings as an electronic treatment. Whereas later on, this developed as electroacoustic music, which uses electronic music in symbiosis with, or like acoustic orchestral instruments. So it was combining instruments with electronic. But now I mean, for this session, I focused only on his electronic music, but he did use in the electroacoustic pieces, like trying to kind of extend the palette of the orchestra, of the instruments, electronically with certain harmonics. So for him, he always had this process of kind of, I think interestingly, even a bit visual, like this light versus darkness, blocks of sound representing light and darkness. I mean, which is the title of this piece. I wanted to read it, something he wrote about it. He called it a kaleidoscope of sound, and it's a soup of associations boiling on low heat, which the spectators can scoop up a sip from. The spectators can scoop up a sip from, like, yeah. I mean, he said actually, oh, Annette, I think he did mention, I mean, he didn't say where from, but I tried to get an overview of everything that is found in sound. I began assembling all this material, all human sound, all sounds from known things, daily situations, kindergarten, everything from children at play to test shooting of new products at a weapons factory. I would say that part of this like assault of man on nature with the weapons or whatever. But of course, certain frequencies can make you think of like otherworldly sounds, like especially this recurring motif. I think there was like these three notes that were reverberating, if you remember. Yeah, exactly. And what I liked about this piece is, even though it sounds really like, I mean, it's literally all over the place, like just nothing staying like stable, but there's this binding, strangely, like this kind of binding return to, yeah. There is no actually visual documentation of the, or installation. There's only like the, there's photos of from the pavilion from outside, but there was no documentation of the installation, the speakers and the...
Could that have been on purpose?
I would go back to this idea I read, I think in the thesis that it was perceived that it's like very unambitious piece. Like for some reason, it seems they had really like spectacular settings, in other pavilions. Yeah, like 36 speakers isn't enough for. so maybe I don't know. But there isn't.
I was thinking more from his side.
I mean, maybe because he was interested more in just the sound, as a piece of music. As a piece of music, maybe, I mean, even though, again, as I say, maybe he changed, like, I think it was a nice gesture to change titles with the form of the piece. But maybe the recordings are what matter to him more, or... So that was, like, the documentation. And then, you know, it became poly-poly.